Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. In our Leave It to Beaver or Brady Bunch mindscape, it's all part of growing up, getting that first job at the malt shop, and learning some important life lessons that you'll carry with you forever. But that world doesn't exist anymore. Youth unemployment is a reality, and it's shaping how this generation thinks about work. Martha Ross joins us. She's a fellow with the Brookings and Metropolitan Policy Program, and she has been studying the issue. Martha, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So tell us about youth unemployment. How bad is it?
Well, it is. It's not pretty. We looked at the labor market outcomes of teens aged 16 to 19 and young adults aged 20 to 24 in the nation's largest metropolitan areas starting from the year 2000 and into 2012. And what we found was that it was bad for everyone, for both age groups, for both genders, for all races and ethnicities, and for people at all levels of education. But we did find that there were some people who did demonstrably better in the labor market, and that was those who had higher levels of education and those who had previous work experience.
That's the age-old question of how do you get a job with it requires work experience when you can't get that first job.
It's true. It's true. And young people always, in good times and bad times, have higher rates of unemployment than prime age workers. And it's because it takes a while to get settled in the labor market. But what we're seeing now is that period of transition is worse. It's harder.
So what is the big problem with the fact that, I mean, is it that there are no jobs for these kids, or they don't want to work?
The lack of jobs is the driving factor. I mean, we, with the recession of 2007, we lost millions and millions of jobs as a country, and we have had too many workers chasing too few jobs. And the San Antonio region is doing, I would say, better than the national average in that regard. But When you have a job loss of that magnitude and the demand for workers just plummets like that, it's going to be hard to find a job. And the data that we have shows that young people do want to work. Their unemployment rates are high, and by definition, to be unemployed, you have to have actively looked for a job in the past 4 weeks.
So these are what, summer type jobs? We talk about youth unemployment. Is that what we're talking about, or is working, dropping out of school and working? What are we talking about?
Right. So when you talk about employment among this age group, you have to think about how it relates with education. And for teens, the first priority, full stop, is school, is going to high school and graduating, and employment is a valuable supplementary activity. So often that means a summer job. Sometimes people work during the school year as well. Among young adults, older than teenagers, you're starting to see people looking for their first full-time job, and whether they have graduated from high school and are going directly into the labor market or have on to a community college or a four-year college. And it depends. This population is going through so many phases of their life regarding education and employment that it's hard to generalize.
So getting that first job when you're a teenager, not only, I guess, you make a little bit of money and do things, but I thought that it's important because you learn the skill of work. You learn how important it is to show up on time, how to deal with fellow employees who may not be the best individuals, and a boss who may have an ego on him or something. And so you just have to figure out, how am I going to incorporate myself into this world? And those are important lessons.
That's absolutely right. I mean, if you think about the skills that you need to succeed in school and the skills that you need to succeed in the workplace, there's a lot of overlap, but there are differences. I mean, you can do quite well in school and not communicate with other people and not have to deal with authority in quite the same way that you do on the job. If you're late to class, you might get a failing grade. You might not care that much. But if you're late to work, you might get fired. So it is a different set of skills. And if you think about it, we spend more of our life in the work world than we do in the school world, even though obviously school is a big part of what sets us up for who we are and who we become.
Our phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from our listeners. Do you remember that first job? Give us a call. Tell us about what you remember learning from that job and what you think our youth are going to miss out on by not having these opportunities. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. So youth unemployment, is it because the 20-somethings or the olders that they're not able to move up and transition out of the workforce into better jobs, so they are continuing to occupy the job that might have been available at McDonald's?
Yeah, that is part of it. We didn't look at that question specifically in our report, but some other analysis has found that what you described is called malemployment, people taking jobs for which they're overqualified, and the college graduate being a waiter or a barista is one example. And yes, we are seeing that with young people, definitely. And that can crowd out those workers with less experience or lower levels of education.
So what's the solution? What are y'all? Is there a plan? Is this something that is being kicked around? Like, we got to do something about this?
That is the question, right? There are things we can do, and there are things that schools and employers are doing around the country. San Antonio is home to the Alamo Academies, which is a pretty good example of how you can prepare high school students for the work world and continuing post-secondary education in a way that gives them work experience and previews what the working life is for them and does it in a way that's tied in with the regional economy.
Okay, So, is there a way to, or is there an appeal saying, you know, can you create summer jobs to companies and corporations and some sort of program looking to feed into that? I'll let you answer that question in just a minute. We're going to take a quick break. Our phone lines are open. You can give us a call. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. We're talking about youth unemployment. It used to be when you could take a summer job, get the mall, at the ice cream store, doing stuff, and then go back to school, and you learned some important lessons, made some friends, had some experiences. That's not the world anymore. We're finding out that the youth unemployment is a big issue. And it's changing how this generation is going to think about work. The number to call is 614-898-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org, and you can comment directly on our show page where the conversation is always going on at tpr.org. We're going to take a one-minute break, and we will be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The last decade was a disaster in terms of American unemployment, but forgotten is the nation's youth. They suffered the biggest hit. The ability for young adults to find a job has fallen off the cliff, according to recent studies. What can we do to get kids back into the workforce? We're speaking with Martha Ross about that. She's a fellow at the Brookings Metropolitan Policy Program, studying issues of work and with the youth. Let's get some of our callers on the air. Our number is 614-8980. We've asked our callers, our listeners, what was your first job and what did you learn from that job? Johnny has called in. Johnny, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Hey, my name's Johnny Lopez, and I grew up here in San Antonio, and right now I'm 31, but when I was 16, 18, I had my first job at SeaWorld. And SeaWorld was a great experience because there was a whole bunch of youth compared to now when I see employees there. But it's, you know, that's where I learned, like, about overtime. And SeaWorld didn't offer it. I mean, I worked like, 96 hours a week because I had all that free time, and all I would do is just live at work.
And so you had to work in SeaWorld's a very corporate kind of a structure also.
Correct, yes. Yeah.
So you learned what that was like.
I learned how from the bottom, because I was just a busser, and, you know, I learned, like, well, if you wanted to be a cashier, you have to apply for cashier, and if you wanted to be a manager, then you have to apply for a management position. And, of course, you needed experience and learn the ropes. And, you know, one of the big ones was just people talking about overtime, how they didn't, you know, and I didn't know nothing about overtime. I was like, I thought overtime was just, you know, working over, you know, overtime and that's it. But, you know, and they would look at my hours and they were like, hey, how come you're not getting time and a half? And I'm like, I don't know.
I guess for some reason they found a loophole for you there, Johnny. All right. Well, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for calling in with that experience. Let's go ahead and get Jessica on the air also. Jessica, welcome to The Source.
Hi. I was just thinking my first job at a fast food restaurant really helped me learn customer service, that you have to smile and grin and bear it no matter what they do, which has really helped me now that I'm a teacher, because I think a lot of kids are going to miss out on that. As a teenager, you think you can say whatever you want to whoever, and you learn you're not going to get that paycheck if you do that.
And where was your first job, Jessica?
McDonald's.
So you learned the important expression, if you've got time to lean, you've got time to clean.
Absolutely, and I definitely don't have any time to lean nowadays as a teacher. So, yeah, you learn to multitask, and you learn definitely to respect other people's opinions, even if they might not be correct. The customer's always right.
And did you learn that you didn't want to spend a lifetime working at McDonald's, and when you went back to school, you put a little more effort into it?
Absolutely. I think working in a job where you're on your feet all day is probably the best motivator to go out and get a degree and get somewhere where you can actually use a degree to your advantage and get that higher paycheck.
And so when you go to McDonald's now, do you have a lot of sympathy for the kids behind the line?
Absolutely, I do. In fact, I try to avoid it for that reason. After eating there for a year, I think I was good.
All right. Jessica, thank you for calling in. Appreciate hearing your stories. And let's go ahead and get Amber on the air. Amber has called in. Amber, tell us about your job experience.
I started working when I was 15, and I worked at like a mom-and-pop dollar store. And it taught me a lot about, like the other caller just said, customer service. I learned... You really learn how to count money and using a cash register. I mean, I know now that's kind of mute because people always use their debit cards, stuff like that. But customer service, you learn responsibility, like, to your schedule. You know, you can't just say, I'm not going to go to class. Like, with school, you can just say, I'm not going to go to class. You don't have anybody to, you know, you're not responsible to anybody in that sense, but with the schedule, they're counting on you to come to work, and so you have to, be responsible to your employer.
And to your fellow workers too, because when you don't show up,
who's
got to take up the slack?
Exactly. So I found it to be very valuable, and I hope that my child, you know, will be able to have that same kind of experience as a teenager, at least. If he can't find a job in a, you know, corporate environment or a store, he's going to be out there cutting yards and stuff. So,
yeah. Okay, Amber, thank you for your call. We appreciate that. So Martha Ross with the Brookings Metropolitan Policy Program looking at youth unemployment. We've heard some great stories just now about how working, getting that first job as a teenager shaped what people feel as they grew up and got into the actual workforce. It shaped what they think about work.
Yeah, it's a powerful experience. People really remember it. Yeah, I was a waitress and an ice cream scooper, and I remember that.
And did you get big, strong forearms digging into that ice cream?
I kind of wish that I did, but I didn't.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm going to get Max on the air. He has called in. He has an interesting perspective. Max, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello. My name is Max. I grew up in Germany, and when I left school, I entered a training program for a large company where you learn a trade over 3 years. The government at that time paid a portion, I don't know how big a portion, of the training cost of these programs. And we were paid a minimum, not even minimum wage, a paltry sum just for working there. But it's better than having to pay. And that's how I learned my trade. And I haven't been without a job all the years I've worked.
And what is your trade, Max?
My trade is a pattern maker. I work for SAS Shoemakers here in San Antonio, making patterns. That is my trade. Actually, the training program was to cut shoes, how to cut shoes. And I graduated from that. The state takes the examination. It's an all-day examination where you get graded on what you've learned and how good you're doing the job. And the 10 top trainees graduating, which we didn't know at the time, are being offered promotions within the company to train for another better job. And I was one of the ones that was offered that training program in the pattern department. And that's how I became a pattern maker. And since then, I immigrated to the United States, became a citizen, and am currently working for SAS Shoemakers and love it.
All right, Max, thank you for your story, and that sounds fantastic. And it sounds like you've that program really did give you the foundation to go on to a career and be a productive member of society. And so, Martha, so Max is telling us a story about that there is an effort in Germany to get kids into the workforce and get them ready for a lifetime of productivity.
Yeah, I mean, the German model, where they are much more organized and explicit about how they link school and work. And there's a lot that we can learn from them. I mean, they have employers directly involved in telling schools, you know, how many workers they need, what kind of skills they need, and then often the schools are a direct pipeline into employment, as it sounds like it was for your caller.
So, Martha, what is the percentage of students, youth, teenagers, who do get work now? And what did it look like before?
Well, sure. So when we looked at what the figures were across, in the nation's top, in the nation's largest metropolitan areas, only 24% of teens in 2011 had a job. And it only has gone up slightly since then. It's about 26% in 2013. So that means only 26 out of 100 teens worked in the past year. That's down from 44% in 2000, and that's a historic low in the post-World War II period. And for teens who are in high school who haven't yet graduated, you might think, well, fine. I mean, it's not – I'm going to worry more about the guy who has kids and a mortgage to pay. And it's true. In some cases, for teens, it doesn't mean you have to worry about their immediate economic hardship, but it is a worrisome point for their future trajectory, because work experience as a teen is associated with work experience later on in life.
Okay, so let's get another caller on the air. Matthew is called in. Matthew, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, David. I'd like to make the point that work has greatly, I feel, hurt me when I was in college, working kind of meaningless corporate jobs. Whenever I've been working jobs, I've felt pressure to do more at work and do less at school and to take in more shifts. And it's really hurt my schooling whenever I've worked. I've been out of work for about a year now, just focusing on school, and I've had a 4.0 GPA. And before, when I was working, my GPA hovered around 2, 2.5. It was just mediocrity, and I think taking these corporate jobs kind of leads to that as a youth.
Sure. Thank you for that call, Matt. Go ahead, Martha.
Yeah, I mean, you raise a real concern, which is to what extent is work going to interfere with school? And there's been some debate about that. And among high school students, there seems to be a rough consensus that working 15 to 20 hours a week is not going to cause problems generally. There hasn't been, I don't know if there's been research among those in college, but it is something that, every student has to judge for themselves.
Sure, and then there are some students who do need to work, and they can't find the job. All right, Martha Ross, thank you so much for joining us and filling us in and talking to us about youth unemployment. She is a fellow with the Brookings Metropolitan Policy Program. Thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
And this is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you so much for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.